thankful that you joined us. You know, it wasn't my plan to necessarily start with this, but Ryan, if you could put up that Psalms 23 again, please, on the screen. Psalms 23, that's for the end. That's the last one. But I'm impressed you got that up so quick. Okay, Psalms 23. What we're going to be talking about today, if you were here last, we talked about the power of our words and how when we speak words, powerful things happen. That our words are like seed, right? They're containers. They contain things and they grow things. Our words grow things. So we're going to start with this, and we may just end with this because this is a powerful, this is what we should be doing. When you read the word, it's not just about reading the words on the page, again, to check it off. It's reading the word in order to apply it to your life, to make it personal. God's word is God's will. If you want to know God's will for your life, or why am I even here? Why am I created? What is God's purpose for my life? You're not going to find it at 1-800-CALL-A-PSYCHIC. No. Oh, they'll give you some wisdom, but it'll be crazy. They're tapped into a wrong source there. You're not going to find it, you know, phoning a friend, finding your purpose. Mm-mm. Your purpose isn't going to be found in relationship. Your purpose is only going to be found in the Word of God. Relationship with Jesus and allowing Him to unveil His Word to you so you can walk out God's purpose and plan. Then when you find those things that you, when you're reading through the Word and it like almost like jumps off the page, grab that, apply it to your life. We're gonna read this today because this is sowing seed. This is declaring some things. So we're gonna start with this. I want you to say this. You can repeat it after me, so it's not chaotic, that's why. Okay, let's start. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, now really say it like you really know that God has good for you. The Lord is my shepherd. It means He leads me. Okay, if you were your dog, you'd say, you know, like my dogs, they say, Sheree is my master. There's something powerful in that. Because when they say Sheree is my master, they know that my responsibility is to take care of them. And they think that their whole purpose in life, my whole purpose in life, is to meet their needs. So when we're saying this, God wants you to know He is your shepherd. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He has wisdom for you. He has direction for you. And He's not just a so-so shepherd. He's an amazing shepherd. He is the best. Okay, so let's say this again. The Lord is my shepherd. I like this part. It says, I shall not want. Now, when I was a kid, that's like, I shall not want. Why wouldn't I want my shepherd? Right? But He wasn't saying that. It's not like the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want Him. No, it's the Lord is my shepherd and I will have no want of anything. Meaning that if I need anything, He is my supply. I'm not going to lack anything. God is my provider. He is my shepherd. I declare I shall not want. So let's say that again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Say that. That means He's not going to just make you lay down in a bunch of what our fields look like now, dry and broken and stickery and with goat heads. No, He's going to find the best place for you because He's a good shepherd. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. Say this. He leads me beside still waters. I love that. Now, this is one we need to continually say. He restores my soul. Some of us in this room are staying up, stressing out way too much at night. We got to grab hold of this. The Lord is my shepherd, and He restores my soul. I don't have to lack. I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about my family. I don't have to worry about my kids. I don't have to try to, you know, take a pill for it to make myself calm down, take a drink for it to make myself chill. The Lord is my shepherd and he restores my soul. This is a powerful thing because even as a child, your soul has been formed. And some of y'all in this room, some of us in this room, maybe, you know, your soul wasn't taken quite care of. Maybe there's some things in your soul that make it challenging to function in everyday life. Maybe there's some things in your soul that have caused you to stay stuck in patterns and behaviors and dysfunctions, doing things you, man, hate doing, but it's the only thing you can do to bring peace to your soul. But what this says is God is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, and he restores my soul. And when I declare that, I'm sowing seeds for that. He restores my soul. God restores my soul. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. I'll start seeing God restoring my soul and my need for those other fixes, they'll fall away. You're not going to have to try to stop doing it. It's him restoring your soul. You're going to say, when did I stop doing that? When did I not need that anymore? So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I love that because when God blesses me, not just for me, but he blesses me to make himself look good. And he loves doing it. The Bible says that he delights in blessing you. He delights in giving good things to you. He's not trying to punish you for your wrongs. He's trying to get you to open up your heart big enough that he can walk in and provide good things for you because it's for his sake. It makes him look good. He delights in doing it. Goes on to say, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod, your staff comfort me. I love that, what he talked about this morning. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I love that because, you know, and that's what we need to continue to say. God, even in the middle of my enemies, you prepare healing, wholeness, life, blessing, favor, sound mind, a whole family, restoration in my home, restoration of my business, good things. God has good things on that table. Some of y'all are already thinking about Thanksgiving table and all the good things on that table. God's things are more abundant and good than that, gooder than that. I love that. Said he anoints our head with oil, the Spirit of God. Our cup runs over. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. See, that's what we need to start saying. Goodness and mercy are following me. Devil's following me. He's chasing me. Caught me by the heel. No, goodness and mercy are following me. Goodness and mercy are following me. Now, if you haven't learned by now or noticed by now, we are jumping back into the whole words message because y'all said a lot this last week. Y'all said a lot of words this last week? Yes, we did. I had someone come and tell me that, and I think there's a verse in Revelations, and he said, the Bible proves that men are going to go to heaven before women. And I said, what? Come on. Okay, bring it, right? He's like, men are going to heaven before women because in Revelations, it says that there's 30 minutes of silence. There'll be 30 minutes of silence. Yeah, and all the men laughed. It's Revelation something. Go ahead and Google it. So we know that in the beginning, we talked about this last week, and I'll just, you know, cover just a couple minutes of that. At first, that one of the first miracles that we read about is in Genesis chapter 1, when the Bible says that, you know, the earth was formed, but it was without form. It was created, but it was without form. And the Bible says it was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. It says the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. So it says the world was formed. The earth was formed, it was made, it was created, but it was a place of confusion, a wasteland, or chaos. It was chaotic. And it was chaotic until God declared something in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3. God said, let there be light. He spoke into the chaos, and the powerful words that he spoke brought about a complete change. That's in Genesis 1, verse number 3. It was chaos. until God spoke into it. Romans chapter 4, verse number 17 talks about God as the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Another translation said, Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. God doesn't have to have a whole lot to work with to bring life into your situation. We need to know that. Because sometimes we look at the chaos in our own life or the problems in our life, and they really seem hopeless. Like, how can God recreate this? How can God bring restoration to this? It's too far gone. It's too chaotic, too dark. There's just no way that God, why would God even want to bring life back into it? It's too far gone. But the Bible says God can take nothing and make something out of it. That means there's hope for your situation. It says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what we see, it was made by things that were not seen. Psalms 33, verse number 6. David says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And I love this. When you look up the word breath, it means this. It means Holy Spirit inspired, life-giving, miracle-working power. I love that. So when God breathes on something, he breathes a Holy Spirit inspired, life-giving, miracle-working power. In Genesis 2:7, this is what's so awesome. Because in Genesis 2:7, it says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he made him out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed that very breath, that miracle-working power, that breath of life inside him. So when God breathed life into man, he breathed the miracle-working power of God on the inside of us. The Bible says he gave us the same ability that when we open our mouth, because we're created in his image, when we open our mouth and declare things, things grow, things happen. Just like he spoke life or light into the chaos in the world at the time, we can do the same. We have that ability to speak life into our chaos. Now again, a lot of the times we get stuck in the problem. We get stuck in trying to figure out the problem. We get stuck in how dark it is, how dysfunctional it is, how impossible it seems. We get stuck in those things, and those are the things we usually talk about. We usually talk about how dark it is, how hard it is, how tired we are, how broken it seems, how messed up it feels, how chaotic it is. And we end up sowing seeds of chaos back into that chaos, and that's what it produces. And so the whole purpose, really, of this message is for us to realize that just like God spoke into the world when it was chaotic, we can speak life, giving words into our world when it seems chaotic. Again, the tendency is to speak about the chaos, but we got to grab ourselves and say, no, on purpose, I'm going to start speaking life-giving words. Now, since we were created in his likeness, we can create words with our words too. In fact, any human being, believers or unbelievers, use the power of their words and grow things, right? That's why, you know, coaches on a football team, whether they're believers or unbelievers, they'll gather their team together and they'll pump them up with words, right? They'll encourage them with words. They'll bring out the best of them with their words, and it builds people up. Why? Because words, the power of your words work whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. The words you speak will produce either life or death. Proverbs 8:21 says this, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. This is so powerful. If we can ever understand as believers in Christ Jesus that my words are so powerful that I can speak life or death into any situation. So you're in a conflict with your spouse. Here I am talking about marriage again. Mine's great. You're in a conflict with your spouse. At that moment, you can dig your hell, your it is hell, but you can dig your heels in and you can open your mouth and you can push every button that you know will send your spouse over the edge. You can choose to do that if you want to. I can tell you it feels good for 5 seconds. I won that. And then afterwards you're like, oh man, why did I do that? Right? Y'all can attest to this. You know how powerful words are. So you can be in a conflict with someone else, your spouse, your child, your boss, you know, so, your coworker. You can be in this conflict and you have we need to make a conscious choice. Am I going to speak life into this situation, or I'm going to accelerate it, put gas on the fire, and watch this thing burn? We have the power to be able to do that. Have you ever walked into the presence of someone who uses their words in such a gracious way and a life-giving way that you can walk in there all stressed out, worked up, man, feeling like overwhelmed in life, and you walk away after 5 minutes of talking to them, you walk away going, I can do this. I'm going to be okay. This is awesome. My life's not that bad. I really can make it. Why? Because they chose to use their words to bring life and not death. Same thing with our kids. I know raising kids. My kids are already grown. They're married. They're gone. But thank you, Jesus, my husband says. But I know this with kids. And you know this as parents. When you're raising kids, it's not always the easiest thing. It's a constant instruction. Right? You're constantly giving direction. You're constantly giving instruction. You're constantly, you know, guiding. And they don't always cooperate. Sometimes they throw themselves on the ground. Sometimes they scream, I don't even like you. Or, you know, they scream nonsense. You're like, what are you even saying? I didn't even get you. The tendency in some of those stressful moments is to speak words of death instead of life. You don't on purpose stand there and go, you're such a stinking little brat. I wish you were, you know, all these thoughts that go through your head. But in the rage of the moment, you don't stop and control your lips and realize, in this moment, I can either speak life into this situation or I can speak death in this situation. And what I'm saying, just like the Word of God says, in those moments, realize the power of your words and choose to speak life. Grow life. But the real power happens when we connect our mouth with the Word of God. The real power, it's awesome for us to go, I am beautiful. I am amazing. I can do this. I got this. It's more powerful when those are words are spoken out of a belief and trust in the Word of God. That's where the real power comes. The power of his word. It was the power of his word that he created something out of nothing. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to read through this again real quick. Jeremiah chapter 1, and see this in action. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, I knew you, Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, which says a lot, that God has such great purpose for your life. He didn't wait for you just to, you know, surprise everybody with your arrival. He knew and created you on purpose, with a purpose, before you breathed your first breath. You're not an accident to God. You are not an accident to God. So he says, I know before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart or I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Jeremiah says, like we would probably say, Lord, I can't even speak. I'm too young. I'm not good enough. I'm not educated enough. I don't have enough money to do that. I'm not that wise. Do you know what family I've been born in? You know what I did in my past? God, you have to know you chose the wrong person. It says, the Lord said, don't say that. Stop giving excuses why I can't do with you what I've purposed to do with you. Don't keep making excuses why you can't do what I've called you to do. Because if I have purpose for you to do something, it shall come to pass. So he says, you're going to go wherever I send you, say whatever I tell you. Don't be afraid of the people. I'm going to be with you, protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. It says, then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth. That's what we need to say every day. Lord, touch my mouth. Right? Lord, touch my mouth. May I say things that bring glory to you. May I say things on purpose to bring direction to my life. May I say things on purpose to build up the world around me, to encourage the people around me, to get the people around me to hit their target in the kingdom. He says, then the Lord reached out, touched my mouth, and said, I put my words in your mouth. He didn't say, I want you to go and just speak random things. Just make sure you're building people up. Just make sure you're, you know, saying kind things. No, he says, I put my words in your mouth. And he says in verse number 10, I appoint you over nations, kingdoms to uproot, tear down, destroy, overthrow, to build and to plant. And we learned he did all those things through the power of the word. The power of the word. In verse number 12, then it says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, I'm alert, active, watching over my word to perform it. I love this. Other translation says, I will hasten my word to perform it. I'm ready to perform my word. I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. I'm watching to make sure that my message to you comes true. When we open our mouth and speak the word of God into the situation, it's not just, you know, you sowing seed. It's God backing up the seed that you sow. There's power in that. It's God backing up the seed that you sow. That's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother level. I can walk around saying, you know, declaring a bunch of things. But when I know that my words are grounded in the truth of the word of God, I can be aware that all heaven backs me up. All heaven backs me up. Now we can continue to get stuck in what we see. Make excuses, like I said before. Again, there's some things we need to stop saying. We all have things in our life that we need to stop saying. Those are the things we say by default. Those are the things we say that we're not even unaware. I'm such an idiot. I'm so dumb. I can't do this. This is too hard. This is ridiculous. There's no way this marriage is going to work. I just can't handle this. I'm just not able to do this anymore. I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. It's too much for me. Things like that. We all have those things, right? I know we do because it just got super quiet in here. But saying you're an idiot does not make you stupider. Saying you have no money doesn't make you richer. Saying you're confused and broken doesn't make you wiser. We got to start saying what God says and watch all heaven back us up. So we can't fully activate the miracle without the word of God in our mouth. In our mouth. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 1 through 10, we ended on this last week. God took Jeremiah to this, gave him a vision of this deserted, broken place. And I want you to view this as God taking you by the hand and just opening whatever it is you're facing today that looks hopeless, broken, desolate, dry, irreparable. Maybe it's a financial thing for you. Maybe it's a family issue for you. Maybe it's a work issue for you. Maybe it's a physical issue for you. It says, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones, dry, desolate, whatever your broken place is. He said, he led me around the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground. They were completely dried out. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? Can I do anything with this mess? See, I think sometimes we don't step out and believe God for anything better than what we're in because we just don't know that God really can do anything about our mess or cares enough about our mess. Like, God has way bigger things to deal with than my family issue. God has way bigger things to deal with than my physical issue. But God is asking Ezekiel here, do you think I can do anything with this? See, we'll never receive or speak into our situation life if we don't think that God can do anything with it. Why would I put myself out there? Why would I speak health in my body if I don't know that God is there? I just won't. I'll try something else. Why would I speak life into my marriage if I don't think God wants my marriage restored or there's any hope in it? I won't. I'll just let it be. So he's asking Ezekiel here, do you really think that I can do anything with your mess? And see, that's where we have to start this journey. God, do I really believe that you are good? Do I really believe that you have the ability, the power, and the want to bring restoration to my mess that I'm in? The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it's impossible to please God or to have relationship with God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God has to believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond. See, sometimes we don't see God. The world system, and the enemy is alive and well in the world system, tries to get us to think that God is not for you. And God is for you. God loves you. God's for you. He's for your family. God wants restoration in you. He wants soundness in you. God wants the best for you. He doesn't care where you've been. Other people might. He doesn't care what you've done. Other people might. But God does not. He is for you. So he says, can these bones become living people again? Ezekiel said, only you know that, God. Only you know the answer to this whole thing. And he says, speak a prophetic message to these bones, and this is what I want you to say. I want you to say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath in you, make you live again, put flesh and muscles on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, you'll come to life. You'll know that I'm the Lord. So you're in the place of chaos. God, can God fix it? You have to ask, can God fix it? You have to come to that place first. Yes, God can fix it. I know God is for me. God can fix it. And then God says, well, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. What does God say about your situation? What does God say about the dry, desolate, broken, healthy place in your life? What does God say about the brokenness of your home? You got to find the word of the Lord. He said, so I spoke the message just like he said, and as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones came back together. They attached themselves. As I watched, muscle and flesh formed over the bones. Skin formed, but they had no breath in them. Then he said, speak a prophetic message to the wind. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into the dead bodies that they'll live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded, and breath came in their bodies. They all came to life and stood on their feet. And I love that. I love what he says. He said, so I did. I declared the word of the Lord. And as I declared the word of the Lord, something started happening. Today, as you grab a hold of the word of God and you go home and you look at the brokenness in your family, maybe, or the brokenness in relationships, or the brokenness in your money, as you start speaking the word of God into those broken situations, you have to know that something starts shifting. Something starts happening. There's power that starts showing up, producing in it what you're declaring. As you declare the word of the Lord, powerful things happen. Isaiah 55 says this, the rain and snow come from the heavens, stays on the ground to water the earth, and it causes the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It says it's the same with my word. God is saying it's the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it'll prosper everywhere I send it. Meaning that when I declare the truth of the Word of God into my situation, God backs it up. And that word doesn't that word stays there. It starts creating things. It starts working things. It starts producing things. It starts bringing life to things. Now, here's the thing. This is why it's so important for us to open the Word of God and to get in it. Now, for us to think that there's going to be life in every situation of our life and every dry place without us getting into the Word of God, that's not going to work. That's insanity. That's like me looking at my, you know, yard outside going, man, where are the tomatoes? Where are the tomatoes? I want some tomatoes, but I didn't plant any tomatoes. But I'm mad and frustrated at the world because I have no tomatoes growing in my yard. That doesn't even make any sense. So if we really want the Word of God to show up in our world, we have to get the Word of God in our heart. Another translation says this, so will be my word which goes out of my mouth. It won't come back to me with nothing done, but it will give effect to my purpose and do for which I have sent it. Joshua 1:8 says this, let the book of the law or the Word of God always be on your lips. Let it always be coming out your mouth. Let it always be coming out of your mouth. It says, and in your thoughts day and night, so that you keep care with everything in it. Then a blessing will be on all your way, and you will do well. Another translation said, you'll succeed in everything you do. You'll make your way prosperous and have great success in everything you do by taking the Word of God and letting it come out of your mouth. James chapter 3, the band can come back. James chapter 3, it says we can make a large horse go wherever we want by a small bit in its mouth. Anybody ever ride a horse? Yeah? Nobody? Yeah, thank you. We all y'all ride a horse, and you know that they put that bit in its mouth, and it, you know, directs them wherever. It can be a huge old horse, not just a teeny little pony, a huge horse. And just that bit in the mouth will cause that horse to go where it wants to go. You know, my brother-in-law one time, our family member, one of my aunts or uncles, like a distant relative, they had a horse, and their horse, they named their horse Buck. Buck. They named the horse Buck. I remember being a little, my brother was, you know, younger than me, and we got on this horse, and I can remember saying, did you name him Buck because this horse bucks? You know, like, this is not a good horse to be on. They're like, oh, no, he's a gentle horse. I'm thinking, I don't know. We got on that horse. My brother's sitting in the front. That horse bucked, and we slid off the butt of the back of the horse. I've been traumatized by that, but I'm praying through it. So we can take a bridle in a horse's mouth and direct him, or a rudder on a ship will direct a big ship. It says here in James that your tongue directs your life. It gives direction to your life. If you want your life to go in the way of the Word of God, you've got to have the Word of God coming out your mouth. I love this in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible. Let's let this sink in for just a second. I know y'all saying, church is almost over. I know, I've sat in your seat. And my husband's preaching. I'm like, I know, church is almost over. And then he has to rein me back in. Easy now. We're human. And can I tell you, the Bible says when the Word of God is sown, Satan's sitting right there going, I'll take that, I'll take that, I'll take that. And he's trying to snatch the seed of the Word of God from getting sown into your heart. So he's like, I wonder if the good football game's playing. I wonder if anybody posted something good on social media this morning. I wonder who's where at church this morning. I wonder who won the marathon. I wonder who's running. All this stuff, I'm telling you. You don't think the devil goes to church, but he does. Bible says, as soon as the Word of God is sown, he's standing there trying to get you to not understand it, trying to steal it away. So now we're all focused. Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. New Living says, for the Word of God will never fail. Let's all stand in this place. The Word of God will never fail. Now, this is a great message. This is awesome. I love the Word. I like when you teach. You don't preach as long, kind of long, but not as long. And so I know, you know, it's great, it's awesome, but can I tell you how life-changing a message from God can be if you'll grab it and do it? In this room, no doubt, there are some life and death situations. Some legit life and death. Some just life and brokenness. Success and average. Amazing and okay. God wants your life to look great. The Bible says the thief comes, he steals, kills, and destroys, and we tend to focus so much on that. Our attention needs to be on the fact that Jesus came to give us life, and life in the fullest measure, a joyful, happy, content, peace-filled life. And I'm telling you, it all comes down to this: taking the Word of God, God's Word, God's instruction, getting them in your eyes, getting them in your ears, letting it come out of your mouth, and watch your world change. I dare you this week to look at whatever situation is the biggest in your life, whatever part of your life that just seems to be the most frustrating and cause you the most trouble. I dare you to find three verses in the Word of God, three scriptures, whether it's physical, where it says that, you know, Jesus came and took stripes on his back, and by those stripes you are healed. Find him in the Word yourself, not because I said it, but the Word of God says it, that he sent his Word and healed them. Get that. Write those three verses down, and every morning, afternoon, and night, let that come out of your mouth. God, I declare today that you sent your Word and you healed my body. Therefore, I am healed. I declare that you were wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was on you, and by your stripes I'm healed. I declare today I walk in complete health. Whatever that is, wherever that is, relationships in your life, finances in your life, whatever your biggest frustration is, grab you three verses, put them up on your mirror, declare them out of your mouth. As you declare them out of your mouth, all heaven backs that up. When you speak it out of your mouth, you may not see it sprout up. Oh, I got this phone call and got this $1 million in the bank. No, but I can tell you, heaven starts shifting. Things start moving. Camels start walking. That brought Jesus all this stuff, you know, not just camel. Yeah, anyway, you have to track with the Word of God, right? So all the heavens open, things start shifting. You start meeting the right people, going in the right direction, and you watch how God starts providing in your life, because that's how God does what he does. Father, I thank you for your Word today. I thank you for your anointing, your empowerment, God. I thank you for your Word that never, ever fails. God, help us not to get stuck in the chaos of our life and keep our eyes there. Help us to see bigger, dream bigger, not be limited by anybody else around us. God, our enemies have no hold on us. God, we tap into the table before us. We tap into health and provision. God, and what you have called us to do, we shall accomplish. God, we declare that you are faithful. We declare that you are good. We declare that you are holy and righteous and have a good plan for me. God, I thank you for the good plan for us. God, help us to grab a hold of the truth of your Word, put it in our eyes and our ears on purpose, and watch, God, all heaven shift. God, bringing about the truth of the Word of God to pass in our life. God, we give you thanks for that. We will not worry. We will not fear, because you are good. I shall not fear. I do not fear. I have great faith and confidence that your Word is working mightily in us because we believe in Jesus' name. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed in this space, if you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to open up your heart to him. God's love for you is so great. We say this all the time. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've been through. God loves you. He has a purpose for your life, and it's not just to exist. Is to do something great in the kingdom of God. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. If you don't know Jesus and you want to open up your heart to him, doing things your own way just isn't working. Let God get involved in your mess and pull you out of it. God has so much more for you. But if that's you this morning, I want to pray with you. We're going to join together in a prayer and open up our heart, give it to Jesus. If you want to make that decision this morning, can you just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah, back in the back, all over, really. Yep. You know, you can go ahead and put your hands down. Every day, honestly, because my desires can, you know, you kind of want to take the easy way out sometimes and just like, you know, the enemy can lie to you. Every day, I make a commitment. God, I give you my yes. God, I give you my yes. Your way's better. Your way's always better. I say yes to your purpose and your will today. I call on you. Let's all pray together. Everybody in the room, because nobody prays alone. Say, Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for having a purpose for my life. I open up my heart to Jesus. I believe that he lived perfect. He gave his life on the cross, was buried, raised again to new life, so I can walk a new life. I receive that today in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, before we go, unless you have anything else you want to say, Randy, Mr. Hand, honey, Lord, only in front of you do I call him that. We're going to go ahead and make some confessions, declarations out of our mouth today. So we're going to put them up on the screen. Actually, these declarations, these confessions are actually one that we have on our, if you want to look them up on our app, on our celebration app, it's under the kids section. I just put some scriptures there by, so you could take a photo of it, so that way when you know, you're not just saying a random, you're declaring the word of God, personalizing the word of God. So I'm going to say it, and then we're going to repeat it, because that works better for me. So let's say this with all of you. I am who God says that I am. I am healthy. Now the Bible says this. I'm interrupting myself. The Bible says this, it says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Because sometimes, you know, you're not saying how you feel. You're saying, you're declaring what you want to see, right? Because if we just say what we feel, we say, I feel gross today. I feel tired and 60 years old. I'm kind of weak because my legs hurt because I worked out too hard. Kind of feeling like an idiot. Okay, so we're not going by our feelings, right? We're declaring what we want to see, right? So if you knew today, you would be all of those things because the word says you are all of these things. Let's say it like we mean it. I am who God says that I am. I am healthy. I am strong. I'm smart. I'm beautiful. And men, you can be beautiful too. I am kind. I'm honest. I am loved. I am confident. I'm focused. I am peaceful. Oh, here's a good one. I am patient. We're going to say that twice. I am patient. I am happy. I'm protected. I'm a blessing. I am a child of God. God is always with me. My future is bright. Let's say this last line together. Today is gonna be a great day. Y'all believe that? Yeah.